Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us join this afternoon moment, the beginning of these services, in mutual prayer and thanksgiving. Dear Heavenly Father, we wish to once again thank you for giving us this opportunity to gather around your precious and living word. We also, dear Father, ask for thy presence here so each of us could leave here being fed in our weak faith on this journey towards that eternal home. And we once again, dear Father, with our poor and weak prayers, pray on behalf of those prodigal sons and daughters whom the enemy has yet deceived. We ask that you would yet call them yet into your precious kingdom. And we also wish to pray on behalf of those who are in lonely places of watching due to illness, health, or even their work. We ask that you would comfort them there in their lonely places so that they could be protected also in this precious faith. And we enclose all of these in that prayer which thy dear Son has taught us. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Before we even begin to read the text for our study, even though it has been a few weeks, I wanted to bring greetings from a dear sister, Doini Helimo, who is there at Suomikoti. We gathered for services on that weekend of Easter, and it was her wish that her greetings would be brought here. And even when we think of that dear sister, I know that next month she will be turning 90. And I just would encourage many of you to even go help her celebrate there when those services are there in June. For she certainly is in a lonely place here. But I thought this Sunday we would read a portion of God's Word from the Old Testament. It is found in that 34th chapter of Ezekiel. And it speaks to that theme of this Sunday, which is the Good Shepherd. And we'll read from the 11th verse on to the 16th. And the words are in Jesus' name as follows. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in that day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered. So will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries. And I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and I will bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. Amen. When we even think of this theme for this Sunday, the Good Shepherd, I'm sure into many of your minds comes that picture of our Lord and Savior with that staff holding that little lamb. And it is a picture which shows unto us the care which we receive within God's kingdom. And when we think of the duties of a shepherd, even as our text spoke, speaks how he binds up those that are wounded. He heals the sick. He feeds the flock. But also, even as in many portions of scriptures, he also fights the enemies. We remember how even David, the little shepherd boy, when he was there caring for the lambs, we remember how he fought the bear and the lion, and he defeated them. It is a picture unto us how when we are being attacked, it isn't our fight. Our Lord and Savior, who has promised to be there where two or three are gathered, he will fight. And even here, when we think of that gospel text, which is for this Sunday, we remember how Jesus there spoke in that parable that I am the good shepherd and my sheep know my voice and they will flee from the voice of a stranger. And so it is in God's kingdom. When the Spirit works through the servant, it feeds the flock. And the flock is fed and is comforted. And the flock feels secure. But when the Spirit is not there, and man begins to speak his own words, the flock is not fed. the Spirit speaks unto each and every member there. And it is amazing how it is that same voice which speaks. It doesn't teach any one of us any differently than the other. But it is one voice. In the same way as it is one shepherd, so it is one voice. And often in these past years, we have heard that other voice, which causes confusion, causes questions. It doesn't edify God's kingdom. But even here, we can trust in this. In the same way as those sheep trust that shepherd, that the Lord will fight for us. The Lord will care for us if it is our wish to remain in God's kingdom. So, at the beginning here of our text, Ezekiel writes, "For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day." It is always amazing when we read God's Word how something that is written 2,500 years ago or so still applies to today. Even here, the prophet Ezekiel was given to record for us to learn that the shepherd would come who would seek out the sheep and deliver them out of the places where they have been scattered in cloudy and dark days. This is a picture of even today, where we have the enemy of souls preaching his sermon, creating smoke within God's kingdom, causing confusion, causing that destination to not be so clear. Even today, we can trust that the shepherd will seek out those who are confused and are cloudy, covered by clouds. He will deliver them if they so desire. It is truly the work of God and our Lord and Savior that even here today, each and every one of us is gathered and we have that name of a child of God. If we did not have this dear good shepherd, where would we be? I dare say, often when we even think of our own lives, we can feel the trials of the times pressing us down. We can perhaps have trials of health. Perhaps we can feel the burden of those blessings of God, those children. And perhaps even in our own minds, we can begin to think and ponder these matters. And we can even doubt and wonder that does anybody even realize how we feel? Or does anybody even realize how tired we have become? But dear travel friend, is it not so that the good shepherd, he knows. We don't need to fear. For even when we are in those lonely places of watching, and perhaps we can even worry about dear ones who are there alone, even as we remembered our dear sister. But even in these matters, we can trust that God knows. He knows what we need. We don't need to worry. And when we are tired and filled with great doubts, He knows. And He can send those angels, those precious escorts, who can come and uplift. There, where two or three are gathered, there also our Lord and Savior is present. And is it not such a great blessing when we can dwell in God's kingdom? Where else could we receive such care? When we even think of our elders here, who, when we look as time has passed, slowly they have moved on to that sleep of the righteous. But even in this, we can take great comfort, for when we even remember those precious loved ones whom have laid down that travel staff, we saw how even they were poor and weak, faulty travelers. But here in God's kingdom, there are only weak ones. Here, there isn't ones who have strong faith. Each and every one of us knows ourselves how weak our faith is. And isn't even not so that often we doubt that, am I even yet believing? The enemy of souls would wish to even preach that sermon unto us. But even as Jesus himself spoke, that fear not, little flock. It is my Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is that gift which we have. We can be here in this flock, in that sheepfold where the good shepherd cares for us. He feeds us with what we need. And even as our text spoke, that when we are wounded, he binds that which is wounded. How is it that we bind those wounds? And how is it that we heal that sickness which comes upon us? Is it not with that gospel message which so freely flows from God's kingdom? It heals those wounds which come. It cleans away the dust of the journey. And it is that which gives us strength to journey one more day. It is that which gives us that living hope which each and every one of us has, that one day we could join that white-robed throng there in heaven. There where our faith could change to seeing and we could be in eternal rest. And this gospel, we know, is the power of God unto everyone who believes. And it is that living water which Christ has left for us. It is that for that which even last or even a couple weeks ago we remembered, where he allowed himself to be nailed onto the cross. But more importantly than even allowing himself to be nailed to that cross, but that he rose from the grave. And it is for that reason, even if we were to look here behind me on the wall, we have that empty cross. It is that which we so wish to give thanks to our Heavenly Father, that our Lord and Savior didn't just allow himself to be nailed to the cross, but that he rose victorious from the grave. And it is that which gives us that hope of heaven. It is that which has opened the door so that we could one day make it there. And when we journey here in God's kingdom, as often as we need, we can hear those precious words, that dear brother or sister, uplift your heart and believe, all sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And even now, you can uplift your Jesus' name and blood, believe all sins and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins and doubts forgiven. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins and doubts forgiven. When we journey living of that gospel message, which is offered so freely, we will make it to that destination. But then even our text continues here in that 13th verse, that I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. This here is a picture unto us how, even as we have seen in these past years, where God has called from many different nations, He has called from many different races of people, those from all over the world, into His flock. For it is one flock, even as we recite in that creed, one mutual congregation. And so it is. It doesn't matter what is separating us, whether it be oceans or borders, but we are all of the same flock. And it is that same Spirit which guides, no matter where we be. For even as this theme of this Sunday speaks unto us, how it is one shepherd. For God even allowed His Son to come here on this earth and suffer and die, to be that good shepherd. Even as Jesus Himself spoke that the good shepherd layeth down His life for the sheep. This is how good of a shepherd we have. This is how great care we are in, that Jesus so loved the world. We can even remember those words that Jesus spoke, that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes would not perish, but have everlasting life. Here, even today, even a few weeks ago as we were gathered there in Monticello, I marveled how, even though from many, many different congregations, different countries, there were gathered brothers in faith, but that same voice spoke through almost all of those brothers. And when there was those who spoke with that different voice, how easily the Spirit revealed it. God's kingdom does not err. And when we think of even that statement, one might question, how could this be? It is possible because it is God who guides. It is a Spirit whom is God in the third guiding in His kingdom. And we have Jesus here who has promised to be there where two or three are gathered. He cares for His sheep. And then our text even continues that with these words that I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. It is still so yet today. It is not man's word that feeds the flock, but it is God's word. It is through the Spirit He is speaking, feeding His children. We even remember how the disciples, when they were sent, Jesus, we remember, sent them to go and preach. And when they returned, we remember how they marveled that even the spirits were subject unto them. And what did Jesus tell them? Jesus told them to rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Here we see what is the most important in our lives. We don't need to worry what our place in life is. We don't need to worry whether temporally God has blessed us with very much or little. But we can rejoice of that our name is written in that book of life. And I have often, even myself, thought in this way, that when that day comes, that God even calls me from this life, oh, how I would wish to see in that book that beside my name is written no sin. How has it felt? Even here on this journey, is it not so often the case that our flesh is so weak? That we fall so often into sin? And I've even sometimes thought, there as a parent, when the children have fallen again and again into that same sin. And I've often even become impatient that again, why have you fallen into that sin? But when we even think of that good shepherd, and I even think of those meetings that have taken place over the past few years, we can see how loving the good shepherd is. He is so patient. And when we even think of those last times when he was with the disciples and he spoke to them again and again of what was to happen to the Son of God. But then when that time came for our Lord and Savior to be crucified and to give his life for the sins of the people. How quickly they forgot. And then we remember where those two disciples were there on that road to Emmaus, wondering of those events which had just happened. Did our Lord and Savior become impatient with those disciples? We know he didn't. But again, he spoke unto them from the scriptures. He spoke unto them with love. This is that example even unto us. How we can speak the truth, but we need to have love and patience. For when we even think of how much patience our Heavenly Father has had towards each and every one of us, certainly we can have the same patience. But we are so weak that again we can see how if it was of our own strength and our own doing, we would never obtain heaven. It is even here as Jesus spoke in that verse which we just read, that he feeds his flock. He causes them to lie down and rest. And then he continues here in this last verse, I will seek that which was lost. I am sure to many of you here, you parents who have those prodigal sons and daughters whom the enemy has deceived, is it not comforting, even those words of our Lord and Savior, that he will seek that which was lost? And it also speaks unto us in this way, that often we can feel our own poorness, and we can even think in our minds that perhaps if I had said this or that, things may have been different. But here we see it isn't our work. It is the work of that good shepherd. It is even as Paul writes that one plants the seed, but God gives the increase. Then, even here, he continues, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken. What causes one to be driven away from God's kingdom? Is it not the same thing which causes one to be lost? Or even causes one to suffer a wound? It is sin. When we have that sin which causes that wound, and when we don't allow ourselves to be cared for by the Good Shepherd, then slowly that wound causes it to be broken. And then slowly we are driven away. And then we are lost. So especially you, dear youth, when sin attaches, put sin away. Because before we even know it, the enemy of souls takes away that sin. We don't even feel that sin on our conscience. And then we begin to fall away. We lose that freedom in God's kingdom. And then before we know it, we are lost. But I would also even say even to you children that pray on behalf of your parents even. For the enemy does not even leave them alone. In the same way as parents pray for their children, children, pray for your parents. That there in your home, that gospel would always be preached. That there God would give the strength to the mothers and fathers to upbring children according to God's word. And even to bring you children to services so that here you could be fed and you can hear that simple gospel message that uplift your heart and believe even as you find yourself all sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. In Jesus' name and blood, all sins and doubts forgiven. This is that simple message which carries each and every one of us on this journey. Then the prophet Ezekiel continues. He will strengthen that which was sick. I'm sure each and every one of us, when we are able to come to hear that voice of the Good Shepherd, we are healed, we are given strength. This is that which feeds us. And when we are able to even, as the writer of the Hebrews writes, that seeing we are compassed about by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the course which is set before us. And when we are able to gather with God's children, here we can run with patience. For here we are carried and we are known. We don't need to travel alone. For here God's children care for one another. And when we see one who is tired and weak, we uplift them. Here they are carried. And when in time of need, help is given. It is a good place to be. But then here at the end of our text, Ezekiel writes of that other type of lamb that he will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. What does it mean to be fat and strong? We have seen this in God's kingdom, even in past times, where there are those even who have preached with this purpose, to feed themselves and not the flock. It has become a position of glory instead of that humble place. But even here, we know, even as we remembered, God is patient. And He even wishes to care for those who have grown. They have become strong in themselves and fat. And I've often even myself thought of it in this way, that I have the tendency to even become fat in a temporal sense. But oh, how I wish and I pray that in a spiritual sense, one would never become fat. That one would never become so full and sure of themselves that you wouldn't need God's kingdom. That you wouldn't need the care of that good shepherd. And it is the prayer, I am sure, of each and every one who serves, that there they would remain in the care of the congregation. And when they even err, that the congregation would even care for them. That here, when we even come before the congregation, and we even confess our own faith, that if it were to become a faith of our own, the Spirit would even reveal unto you. And you would, through that loving care of the Good Shepherd, even care for each one of us. This is that hope and that prayer, that always we would speak not our words, but those words which God wishes. And it is that often I have even myself thought in this way, where often when we come before the congregation to begin our text, we even speak of how we have chosen this text. But oh, how God has shown even me. We don't choose, but God chooses. I can even remember one time where I was on services, rotation services. And one begins to feel a little confident in himself. And I went to speak. And I had no text. But God is faithful. Even there, He was able to show and humble through His Spirit. So, dear travel friends, pray on behalf of each and every one of us that we would remain in that humble place and that would speak those words of the Spirit. And when we speak those words of the Spirit, then it is a living word. And this is that prayer and hope that each and every one of us would remain in His kingdom. And we would remain Even as earlier we spoke, that our names would be written in that Lamb's Book of Life. So even before we come before, as we see set before us the Lord's Holy Supper, we want to come with a believing heart. And even in closing, I would even preach that same gospel, that believe all sins and doubts forgiven in Jesus' name and blood. And even myself coming before you, feeling my own fears and doubts, I would even ask that, can I even believe my many sins and doubts forgiven in? I promise to believe with you. In Jesus' name, and always blessed name, Amen.